not happy about this.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Okay. Can I just say something before you get in? Okay. I have a theory about Trump.
You have a theory about Trump?
I don't want to start with it because I know you want to start with the syphilis hands. Okay, but I just want to tease the fact that I have a brilliant analysis and I think I figured something out about Trump. Okay?
Okay.
But get into the whole syphilis thing first, okay?
Well, do you want to do your theory about Trump to set up the syphilis and the dementia and all the other things that are going around about Trump today after just this incredible speech yesterday?
No, because
animal crackers. What? He was. Whales.
No, because my theory isn't so much explaining Trump. It's explaining why people have gravitated towards him.
Like, all right.
And it's not everyone's an idiot. It's not that. I have a theory, and I punched this theory out on the show a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And the two guys I work a morning show with on the locker room looked at me with vacant eyes. And I'm like, I just dropped some brilliance on you, a-holes.
Was it a well-thought-out, well-planned
it's brilliant.
Theory? Or was it one of your classic Lachlan ADHD
no.
guys, here's a theory, and then you start talking about like bariatric
brilliant.
Surgery?
No, brilliant. Let's get into syphilis. I have a question about syphilis,
all
and
right.
then you go. Is this the one where if you don't get enough vitamin C?
B12, I think. You know what? I want to get into it because, like, we're at that point now where Trump is just this enigma. Like, he's just this fucking thing, this criminal, this disgusting pig who everybody's still rallying around. Ran the Iowa caucus. He barely won, but he won. It said he destroyed everybody. He's in court today trying to defend
himself. I thought he won with a landslide, didn't he?
What's that?
I thought he won with a landslide.
No, it was a landslide because, like, if you look at the votes, I think he won by 7,000 votes. You know,
was that it?
Yeah, dude, they're passing around a fucking paper bag with the votes in it. Like, it was hilarious. So, I mean, it's a disaster. They're like, you know, a preview of what the Conservative Party in Canada is probably going to be like in the next couple of years if they stay the same route that they're going, which is just populist bullshit, lying to people, fear porn. And he was all world yesterday. So he's involved in this trial, right? So he's in Iowa, giving a speech. He wins the primary.
Kind of going back and forth.
Nothing. Yeah, he's going back and forth to New York, to Iowa, to Florida. Mm-hmm. He's in New Hampshire tomorrow. And he's fucking dead in the water. Like, there's no way he's going to win this election. There is literally no way.
They are saying that, hands down, he's going to win the nod for the Republican Party. And he's going to be the next.
Mind-blowing in itself. 91 different indictments.
Again, my theory.
Well,
I have a theory.
Theory in just a second. Yeah, you can't keep referring to the theory, interrupting me with the theory, and then not talking about the theory. So you told me to get to the syphilis.
I know how excited you are about the syphilis.
I'm so excited about the syphilis. So yesterday he's walking out of court, right, in New York, and he waves to people, and this is the picture. This is the picture of him. This is his finger. That's his. He's got these open fucking sores, and it sent everybody for a loop. Open sores on his thumb, the inside of his finger. And at first I'm like, man, that looks like he heated up a crack pipe way too hot. But it's on all of his fingers, open sores, ulcers, and blood. So apparently, according to James Carville, who is not a doctor, he's a Democratic political analyst and pundit, helped Clinton get elected years and years and years ago.
He's the bald guy from Alabama.
Correct. Yeah. I think he's fucking hilarious. Like he talks like you and I, but he reads way more than us.
He was in Old School.
Yeah, totally Old School. So
he was in Old School, the movie.
Yeah, he was in Old School, the movie. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was in the debate.
He was the debate.
Well, Will Ferrell totally had a fucking seizure and almost blacked out. Oh, that one. Yeah, James Carville, that's him.
Yeah.
So he puts out a video. He consults a whole bunch of doctors. He's like, what is on Trump's fingers? I hate to tell you, but I think Trump has the syph. Trump has the syphilis. Let me get to the video. I'll play it for you. This is fucking wild. This is James Carville talking about Donald Trump walking out of the E. Jean Carroll thing, where, by the way, he's been convicted of being a rapist already. Now it's just about, you know, monetary amounts, and now it's just about defamation because he continued to call E. Jean Carroll a liar, the beautiful woman who he raped years ago. He's a total fucking rapist. Anyway, this is James Carville saying, pretty sure he's got syphilis. I want you to listen very carefully because he talks like you and me. He's just way smarter.
If you go to the Drudge Report, and I think it'll still be up, the story that talks about Trump having hand cuts, and you can link to it. They don't look like cuts to me. They look like sores. And I've asked a number of MDs what medical condition manifests itself through hand sores, and the answer is immediate and unanimous. Secondary syphilis. All right. I think there's a good chance this man has the clap. And I'm not being particularly secretive about it. I am texting the photo. You can link to it. It's in some operation called the Daily Mail. It's some British thing. It's probably a Fleet Street rag, but, you know, maybe the picture was doctored or whatever, but maybe this story will go somewhere. Maybe it won't, but I'm telling you, at 1 o'clock Eastern, I'm humping this thing like a young dog on old furniture.
Okay. No, let me ask a question, because I don't know much about syphilis.
That's right? a good thing, by the way.
I was joking about the vitamin C reference.
Yeah.
But I have heard a couple of things. If, and for some reason, I don't know why, every year our syphilis numbers in Alberta are like reported, and they're out of hand.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've got more syphilis cases in Alberta than any other province in the country. That, and I'm not making that up.
Can I just add a little to what you're saying here real quick? Your province is the least most vaccinated province in the country. Number one. Number two, it's also the province that believes the least in traditional medicine and trusts doctors the least. So
yeah,
there's a reason why super gonorrhea calls Edmonton home. Okay.
Okay. So syphilis is the clap.
Yeah.
And it's just another name for it.
Yeah.
Gonorrhea is another name for it.
No, gonorrhea is a little bit different. But I believe they are from the same sort of bacterial strep family that poisons your bloodstream, gives you open sores. Traditionally on your hands, your face, your mouth, your ding-a-ling, ladies, your lady ding-a-ling. And if you get syphilis, if it goes untreated, it can work its way into your brain and
that's what I was going to
dementia. Al Capone died of it. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to ask, does this not have long-term implications for your mental health if it goes untreated?
Correct.
So now not only does he take Sudafed every day, that was the other thing. Remember everyone was saying that he pounds the illegal Sudafed and gets it from Britain.
Codeine in it. You got to get it shipped in from fucking Mexico or something.
So he's basically on speed.
100%.
Like, yeah, and now he's got syphilis.
Yeah, and dementia, when it gets into your brain, it robs your brain of B12 and vitamins that help you maintain memory. And so it's called a neurosyphilis. It's like, it's syphilis that's so bad gone untreated. And in the case of Donald Trump, looks like it's gone untreated for a fucking long time. Where the secondary sores are showing up on his hands.
Did you do any research about where is it at if it's starting to show up as sores on your hands?
Yeah, that's what secondary syphilis is. It's like wildly untreated syphilis. So
does that mean it's in his head?
It's in his brain, apparently. Yeah, which explains his speech last night, where he was talking about, I don't know, animal crackers.
He brings up animal crackers. Well, I'm good at tests, so. What's the story? He said, well, the problem is, you know, people will find out. And if you do badly, it's not a particularly good thing. You don't want to have some guy get like a disaster. I said, well, is that a hard test? It can be hard. I said, look, I got to take it because I got to shut it up. And I took it and I aced it. I think it was 30 questions. And let me tell you, you know, they always show you the first one, like a giraffe, a tiger, or this or that. a whale. Which one is the whale? Okay, and that goes on for three or four, and then it gets harder and harder and harder, and then it's multiplied 3,293 times four, divide by three. They have plenty of tough stuff. But those last 15, 20 questions.
It's plenty of tough stuff. Giraffe, whale.
It doesn't look like there's sores on his hands there.
No, I think it was the other hand.
Okay, all right.
I think it's probably why he's keeping that hand down. I don't know. I mean, you can't see, to your point, yeah, you're right. You can't see the sores there, but I think it was the other hand. It gets better. It gets better. Listen to him last night go full syphilis dementia talking about banking.
But we're also going to place strong protections to stop banks and regulators from trying to debank you from your, you know, your political beliefs, what they do. They want to debank you, and we're going to debank. Think of this. They want to take away your rights. They want to take away your country. The things you're doing, all electric cars, give me a break. If you want an electric car, good. But they don't go far. They're very expensive. They're going to be.
He rambles, eh?
And, dude, the funny part is people are like.
Time for my theory.
Incredible.
Time for my theory.
That criminal guy with syphilis, that criminal rapist with fucking steaming with syphilis. Way to go. You can tell the difference between a giraffe and a whale. That's awesome. I love this guy. Way to go.
Okay. I have.
I want you to hear
it. I have given up with the whole idea of trying to explain what's going on down there. Right. So I, cause it'll drive you crazy. It makes no sense. The whole thing is nuts. And I'm talking about the whole thing, not just Trump, the whole race. It's unbelievable what we're dealing with and what they're dealing with in politics is just, it's complete insanity. So I walk away constantly. I've been watching a lot of old movies lately to avoid the news, if I'm being honest with you. But I had a memory show up on my Facebook page, and it was me and my wife. We used to do these trips with the radio station to Jamaica, and they would send us to Sandals, and we'd broadcast for a week, tell everybody how great it was, give away some trips. We were very lucky. I think I got sent down there three, four times. And every time we went to Jamaica, there would always be, and this is similar whenever you travel, there would always be people from around the world. So you're in the hot tub, you're having your drink, and you'd be sitting across from another couple. And they're like, hey, where are you from? Oh, we're from Alberta. We hear it's cold up there. And where are you from? We're from California. We're from Texas. We're from Montreal, whatever, right? So you have these conversations, you meet these people that are on a nice vacation. And listen, stereotypes exist for a reason. So I know that not every American is this way, but there is such a thing as a loud American, an obnoxious American. And when you run into it, you often wonder, do they know what they're doing? Do they realize how they're coming off? And I think they do. And there's just this arrogance to them. And they're kind of wired like, I'm here on vacation. I'm from the greatest country in the world. We're number one.
We have the most impressive military in the world. And move out of my fucking way.
And I'm going to say, and I'm going to do whatever I want, and I don't care what anybody thinks. And it's an ego thing. And listen, not all Americans are like that. But if you've ever traveled, you will run into them. You'll have a couple like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And quite often it isn't even alcohol fuel. It's just who they are.
Yeah, it's hubris filled. It's xenophobia. It's like this fucking belief that they're from this land that can do no wrong. We're the most powerful. We're the most impressive. We're GDP is the highest. And it's people that don't care about those things. They just need those things to stand behind because they have absolutely no brain at all and the inability to fucking actually negotiate life. So that's their foundation. Their entire identification is why everybody wears those fucking flags, flag shirts, flag hats, flag this, flag that. It's all about, not about me. It's about what this represents and my part in it. And by the way, that gives me the gusto to be a complete and utter fucking loser.
Yes, and they're often aggressive in a social situation.
Yeah.
It's funny you brought up the shorts or the flags, because the one guy that we were sitting with, and I remember seeing a picture of it on my Facebook page, because we used to go in January all the time.
Yeah.
You couldn't see it, but I remember laughing because he had American flag shorts on.
Yeah.
Like, and they celebrate the fact we're the greatest country. I think that explains where that population is at with respect to Trump. I think they've just picked that guy and they just think like this.
He's the embodiment of all things.
I think they know he's a tool, yeah. But I think they look at it this way. I think it's one of these things where they go, he's our guy. I know he's a criminal. I know he's a complete arse, yeah. But I don't care. We're from the United States of America. This is my guy. You guys can all shove it. We don't care what you think.
Yeah. And
I think that explains why about half of that population is okay with this man running. I mean, it's not a complete.
It's okay. They're okay supporting a rapist for president. They're okay with supporting a legitimate criminal.
We're going to do what we want. This is the greatest country in the world. And if we want to put a complete lunatic in charge of it, we're going to suck it. We're the United States of America. I don't think I'm wrong.
No, I don't know that you are either, dude. He put something out today about absolute immunity, and I want to read this to you. And people love this shit, right? They're like, yeah, I get it. That's our president. All caps, of course. The president of the United States must have full immunity, without which it would be impossible for him or her to function properly. Any mistake, even well-intended, will be met with almost certain indictment by the opposing party at term end. Even events that cross the line must fall under total immunity. Or it will be years of trauma trying to determine good from bad. There must be certainty. Example, you can't stop police from doing their job in strong and effective crime prevention because you want to guard against the occasional rogue cop or a bad apple. Sometimes you just have to live with the great but slightly imperfect, which is what he is calling his attempted insurrection, the attempted coup of the United States. He's like, and then what he's saying is that I deserve complete and utter immunity. All presidents must have it. Or the authority and decisiveness of a president in the United States will be stripped and gone forever. Hopefully this will be an easy decision. God bless the Supreme Court. So well, what he's doing
that's
there
off the
is
ticket,
telling,
right? About
well,
him being off
every
the ticket.
One of his voters. Yeah. He's like, hey guys, listen, I should be allowed to do whatever the fuck I want. Every president should be allowed to do whatever the fuck he want, but they are so stupid. They don't look at the other side of that coin or the butterfly effect of that. Where if that is the case, then Joe Biden should just have SEAL Team 6 go down and shoot Donald Trump in the head. And that's just a mistake, and he gets total immunity for it. Like, it blows my mind that resonates with those people. And to your point, a lot of those people are not stupid. They just benefit from or have this ideology in their head that, hey, listen, I am America. Donald Trump is America. Dude puts face paint of America on, hugs the American flag. That's all I need. We need a bully like that to be a bully for America. We don't give a shit about anything else. But it's also the authoritarian slant, which I think is fucking hilarious. The majority of people, there's a poll out the other day, CNN did, 65% of evangelicals said they prefer Donald Trump's dictatorial style because it's what they're kind of used to, right? Which is the belief in one thing, one person that tells you how to run your life, which is why evangelical America is okay with a dictatorship, because that's their fucking ideology. They literally are like behooven to be fucking submissive to one guy, one ideology, one religion, right? Yeah. So they're okay with it. And then you've got dumb America over there that's like, so it's just like Canada. Dumb America, it's like, hey, listen, I don't care what that guy says, to your point. He makes it cool for me to wear these sweet shorts to the pool when I'm on vacation.
He's my guy. Canada. He's my guy, and I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what the rest of the world thinks. We're going to put him in power again. I do need to say this out loud. Like, when I go to bed tonight, I need to believe this because I think another 4 years with Trump would be detrimental to not just the United States of America, but I think it would hurt us around the world. And I think Canada as well. I think he's a dangerous, very dangerous man. And I think there's enough people. And again, back to the back to the not everybody in the United States is like that guy that I was sitting next to in the pool from Texas in Jamaica a couple years ago. I think there's enough people in the United States of America that are scared enough to vote him out. And I think it's going to actually engage the voting public. So yeah, I don't think he wins. I
don't see it.
I can't see it.
I don't see it. I think enough people come to their senses in the last election. I think you're going to see.
I think enough people are scared.
Yeah, I think so too. I totally agree.
What he potentially could do. I'm amazed that the Republican Party isn't doing more to sort of bring him down a notch, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like he seems to be running away with the. And who knows? We got 2 years before they vote again, a year and a half.
Nobody. It's a year. It's this year, 2024.
It's this year?
Yeah, November.
Okay.
Well, November 2024.
We can all hope that syphilis really starts to work. It's magic.
Let's hope the syphilis really takes root and he starts like fucking convulsing during. Because that's the only thing that's going to stop him is if people see that he's totally unhealthy and he can't actually fucking function. That'll be the only.
Are you watching? Are you paying attention to what? When I tune it in, I am just shocked every time I see him speak.
Yeah, he's dumber and dumber. Like his dementia's taking hold. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's talking about things and fucking him up. Talking about whales and giraffes and debanking.
He's literally in court one day and on the campaign trail the next day.
Yeah, dude, did you not hear what he just said? He in that clip, that last clip, he's like, you know what? The banks are going to try and steal your political beliefs. He just said that. The banks are going to steal your political beliefs. And they're going to debank you. And with that, they're going to take your political beliefs. He just said that. To your point, he's in court the other day talking about how it's a scam. This poor 80-year-old woman, death threats, thousands and thousands of death threats. E. Jean Carroll, lady that he was proved to have raped. And he's tweeting about how he never raped her, no big deal, continue to bother her, continue to harass her, all these things. She had to get a fucking pit bull. She got a gun. She got an electrified fence around her house. She broke as a result because she can't work. And America loves him. The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by FactCheck.io. FactCheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact-check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact-check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. FactCheck.io. Back to the show. As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information and alternative sources. And there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today. FactCheck.io. FactCheck.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for the beta test, FactCheck.io. Like half of America loves the guy.
Well, and a lot of people in positions to maybe take him down a notch are scared of him.
Yeah,
because of that, because the threat, like, anytime you get into, you get brought into his circle, there's an immediate danger to you and your family and everybody you're, you know, surrounded with. If you say anything, it's interesting. Haley today, she's one of the, her and DeSantis are running against him, right? For the candidacy, to run the Republican party. She has really shifted gears because she was sort of fighting with DeSantis back and forth. Mm-hmm. And she's now, it's New Hampshire now. They went from Iowa. They're now New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire.
She has switched tactics. And that's another thing that I've been surprised about is that they're, even the people in their own party are refused to go after him, go head-to-head with him. And she's really changed her focus. At least it's suggested today that that's what she's going to do now. She's just going to go right after Trump. It'll be interesting to see how he responds to that, because he does not respond well
to being attacked.
When he gets attacked, when he gets attacked by a man, it looks like one thing and has a feel like another thing. But when he gets attacked by a woman, it's very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't look good.
He gives like space to those cats. I don't know if you saw Sean Strickland's comment, a UFC presser the other day, a Canadian reporter was asking him about his comments about anti-LGBTQ stuff. Sean Strickland, UFC champ.
He fights this weekend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's this weekend. He's a big Trump supporter. And he was the guy that a while ago talked about if he found out his kids were gay, he'd beat the shit out of him, if you remember that, right? So...
Oh, this guy. Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. I know him.
Shit at Turd Island because he's a champ. But he's also just human garbage, and he parrots. He's like Masvidal and the rest of those guys, Colby Covington from UFC, who continually.
Covington, I think, is doing it more as a joke. I got that sense.
Colby Covington. Yeah, he's doing a great job. He's just a joke. I mean, it's a hell of a joke.
I thought it was, it felt a little like theater to me.
Yeah, like WWE.
Strickland is not.
Yeah. No, he's shit. So I want you to watch this. Yeah. It's 3 minutes long. Everybody, if you're listening to this, you can also watch this on YouTube, Dean Blundell Show or Cryer Media on YouTube, instead of just listening to this, so you can see the vitriol. But this is the space that he gives people, right? This is the alternative fact, the hateful alternative speech that people just call it.
This is a very harsh clip. Oh, we should say awful. That. Right?
It's awful. And
I know people are kind of used to getting real content, but I think this deserves a warning on the front end here.
Yeah. Pay special attention to the Canadian reporter that's asking Mr. Strickland about his views and if he's going to use fight time to continue to perpetrate those views. Like very, very innocuous questions. And I want you to listen to not only how he treats this reporter, which is Donald Trump-esque, right? But I want you to listen very carefully to the misinformation, the pipeline of misinformation that's gone into the United States about Canada and about the Prime Minister and about the inclusive rules that we have in this country for every ally of the LGBT community, which we all happen to be on this show. Super allies of people, don't give a fuck what they do in their bedroom. Go and have sex with who you want. As long as you're happy, I'll be your friend. If you're going to be good to me, I'll be good to you. We have multiple LGBTQ people that work here at Cryer Media that I work with on a daily basis. We have a morning show that is hosted by one of the nicest men on the planet, Douglas Connors from the True North Eager Beaver podcast with our friend Paul. He is gay, very proud.
He's just
gay.
A good guy. He's just a good guy. Just good people.
I was on the phone with him yesterday for an hour talking about relationships.
Worrying about what people do out. Like, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter. Stop the judgment.
But to
piece,
your point, people. This is the kind of cover that guy gives people like Sean Strickland to talk like this.
I'm glad to hear it's been great.
Are you Canadian?
Of course I am.
Are you part of the fucking opposition? Are you?
I don't know how to phrase that.
You got like fucking.
Well, I did want to ask
you. Did you vote for Trudeau?
You know, I'm not going to say.
And let me tell you something right now. If a man says he's not going to say, like, if you ask a motherfucker, did you vote for Biden? He's like, well, I'm not going to say. That's none of your business. He voted for fucking Biden.
Sean, I'm glad you had great experiences.
So this is what I'm talking about, you guys. The enemy of Canada.
Sure. All right. That's what it's got to be. It's got to be. We've got a pretty supportive gay and lesbian community in this city. I did want to ask you about something you wrote a couple of years ago. You said, if I had a gay son, I would think I'd...
Oh, look, another... I'm saying to you, the swamp, you guys, the swamp.
You become a champion, you become a star, and some would say,
let me ask you something. Are you gay? Are you gay?
Could I get an answer?
Well, I'm asking. This is a part of. Are you a gay man?
I'm an ally of the community.
Okay. If you had a son and he was like, you know, you had a son, he was gay, you'd be like, oh man, you don't want a grandkid.
No problem with it.
Oh man, well, dude, you're a weak fucking man, dude. You're probably the fucking problem. You elected Justin Trudeau. Like, when he sees the bank accounts, like, you're just fucking pathetic. And the fact that you have no fucking backbone, and has he shut down your fucking country and seized bank accounts? You ask me some stupid shit like that. Go fuck yourself. Move the fuck on, man.
That doesn't really answer the question, but I did want to ask.
So there you go. I want to continue this in just a second, but I want to point something out before we do. Justin Trudeau didn't seize bank accounts. CSIS seized bank accounts. And I'm not a Justin Trudeau guy at all. Lockdowns. That happened provincially, ordered provincially. Justin Trudeau did not order a single lockdown. So you want to talk about misinformation and hate-fueled misinformation that comes from guys like Joe Rogan, who talks to this guy weekly, who communicates with this
guy. They had similar lockdowns in the United States of America.
Fucking unbelievable.
It happened around the world.
Anyway, here's the rest of it.
You said about the whole world.
Yeah, we all had it. We all had it.
Everybody had it.
Here's the rest.
Trans community, you said this past October when they announced the Bud Light sponsorship that you'd go so hard on Bud Light in your next fight, they'll have to accept me or denounce me when they know what they stand for.
This Canadian's not that Canadian.
Are you still going to use your fight time to kind of speak on that?
Here's the thing about Bud Light. Here's the thing about Bud Light. 10 years ago, to be trans was a mental fucking illness. And now all of a sudden, people like you have fucking weaseled your way in the world. You are an infection. You are the definition of weakness. Everything that is wrong with the world is because of fucking you. And the best thing is the world's not buying it. The world's not buying your fucking bullshit you're fucking peddling. The world is not saying, you know what? You're right. Fucking chicks have dicks. The world's not saying that. The world's saying, no, there are two genders. I don't want my kids being taught about, you know, who they could fucking school. I don't want my kids being taught about, you know, their sexual preference. Like, dude, this guy is a fucking enemy. You want to look at the fucking enemy to our world? It's that motherfucker right there. Asking these stupid fucking questions. Sorry, I told the UFC I was being nicer. Lance, am I still doing this? Did I cross any lines? Hello, what the fuck? I didn't say the F word. You just brought this fucking guy in here to piss me off.
Was that on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, that just makes me sick.
There's so much to cover. We covered the first half of it already with misinformation, right? He just is a repeater of everything Joe Rogan says about Justin Trudeau, repeater of every fucking terrible trope that is absolutely untrue about this country. And that young man, Sean Strickland, is not a smart individual. That guy is as punch drunk, as dumb as they come. And he might be incredibly popular in Vaughan. He might be incredibly popular in certain parts of the country. He might be incredibly popular with people who don't have the ability to think critically or just repeat the things that they're told by their sages like Joe Rogan and Brett Weinstein and Jordan Peterson. He might be, and that's fine. That's totally those are not alternative opinions. That is hate speech. That is a lie. That is bullshit. That is a dumb fucking human being, a hateful fucking human being, repeating things that he knows nothing about because he has absolutely no leg to stand on intellectually, academically, civilly, or socially. He's calling this gentleman who's asking a good question in good faith a disease because he's from Canada and may or may have not have voted for Justin Trudeau and then got everything wrong after the fact. All of that is hate speech. It's like this comfortable place for idiots. If you can just tag in a guy like that emotionally, great. That guy right there is exactly who you're talking about when you're saying if you elect this gentleman, we're going to be in trouble because that guy is going to be allowed to continue to do empowered. Those things, say those things. And there are groups of people out there that will be like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable around trans people too. So let's just say they have a fucking mental illness. What a piece of shit.
I will say this. I just want to be careful because I don't think that everything out of Sean Strickland's mouth is parroted by other podcasters and other people. Like, I think Joe Rogan is far more inclusive. I think he does have some very strong opinions about Canada and about Justin Trudeau and about what happened during the pandemic. I think a lack of knowledge. But I don't think he is as
angry at the gays as that man is.
Yeah, I don't think he is
as intimidated by someone else's sexual preference as that man is.
I just
don't understand. How do you get intimidated by that? Like, how do you get so full of anger over who someone else has sex with or who someone else is attracted with?
It doesn't make sense to me.
How?
I don't get it. Why does that have to be your, I don't know, mission statement? And you know what? No. It's interesting. He never really did answer the Bud Light question.
He didn't really answer any questions. He just used that guy as a punching bag.
He dodged it.
Yeah.
That guy, you need to find the name of that reporter because he needs a medal.
Yeah.
He does. I recognize his name. I can't. I recognize his voice. I've heard him before.
He really tried
and I know. We got to figure out who he is because somebody needs to send that guy a bottle of whiskey. Like, he did an unbelievable job. He stayed calm.
Yeah, didn't stutter. He's like, no, I want to know this answer. Do you like gay people? I'm an ally of the community. No, did you vote for Trudeau? Rather not say, fuck you if you voted for Trudeau. Everybody says he didn't vote for Biden, voted for Biden. Everybody says it. Fucking guy's like, nope, here's still on the question. Still on the question. Still on the question.
Good for him.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. I can't imagine Sean leaving that podium thinking that he did good work.
I can't imagine Sean leaving that podium thinking, to be honest with you. Like, can you imagine getting off
the stage? That was a good presser. Hey, high five, guys.
He's stupid at the end of it, too. He's like, hey, did I cross the line? He looks at a UFC guy that crossed the line. I didn't say fuck. He said fuck 4,000 times in that presser and then said about 40 million other things that were 20 times worse than that. Like I give a shit about swearing. I could care less about swearing, to your point. If he got off that stage and looked at his manager and went, crush that, what do you think his manager's face was like? What are you doing?
Everyone was dying a slow death in that room.
Everybody. No one clapped, no one appreciated it. Apparently the vibe in the room from some stuff I read from Ariel Helwani was like disbelief that someone could be that stupid, willingly stupid, which is amazing to me. It's like the fucking thing that makes me laugh the hardest about certain people is people with limited knowledge that think they're right. And they take that information and they weaponize it in the face of everybody who knows they're wrong. And they're still so incredibly fucking confident that they are. I love guys like that. Like, part of me hates it. Most of me hates this guy. But part of me is just amazed that we have like a group of people out there that go, you know what? This is what I think. I'm allowed to say it. It's in my opinion. It's allowed. Even though you're totally wrong. And they feel, and this is the fucking thing that I love about these guys too, is that they say they have a right to say those things. He's got a right to his opinion. I have a right to mine, which is to mock you for yours. So then they go, well, I can't believe you're saying this. You're a snowflake. How dare you elect? No. Free speech is free speech. If you say that that man has the ability to voice his opinion, I have the ability to voice my opinion on his opinion as well. It's all good. It's all good. But they get so angry when you call them out on it. They get so pissed off and they send their bots and they call you a pedophile and a groomer if you stand up for any marginalized community and they try to shut you down. So it's amazing because the hypocrisy with which we respond to this kind of stuff is heavily weighted in assholes' favor, always has been. It's wild.
Well, in situations where we get a little bit of pushback on something where, you know, they think we're, you know, on the show, we made too left of a comment or something.
Yeah.
We'll get a bit of an exchange. And I tell the guys, and I also answer texts as well and comments on social media. I tell the guys, just try to be as respectful as you possibly can. And quite often in that sort of that dialogue back and forth, there is a moment where you might catch them where they don't know how to respond. Mm-hmm. So then they come back at you with anger. And what Grant does all the time is he always likes to point out how much of a snowflake they are for getting angry at that point. That incenses that.
Oh, totally. They continue then, to call you a then snowflake it's because you like to help vitriol. Marginalized people. But when you have an issue with what they say and you tell them that they're snowflakes, they come unglued like the snowflakes unglued. That they are. It's the best.
It's unglued. But they are generally, it's funny, they can be quite sensitive. And especially if you point out things like, and I don't do this very often because I don't engage in this type of dialogue on any scale, personally or online or anything. But I find that I think there's a faction of the population, regardless of their belief structures or where they, you know, where they stand politically, that get some kind of energy or some kind of rush from being angry. And they go online to fuel that. Mm-hmm. And they need it for some reason. I don't know if it's like an adrenaline or some kind of a drug to them, but I do see attempts at trying to get me going in particular. And the only sort of justification I can think for it is they need it in their lives somehow. It somehow maybe fills a hole for them. I think there's a lot of that out there right now.
I think that you're thinking this too much. You know, when you see babies try to stick a square peg in a round hole and they throw their heads back and flail around on the ground because the square peg won't go in the round hole. You know that one?
Yeah. Because
they're just babies. Their brains aren't fully formed. They don't understand that just won't work. That's what I think we're dealing with here. In that man's case. And generally,
you know what's
speaking,
interesting,
in a lot of
though?
Other cases, it's like, man, my brain doesn't function like everybody else's. I can't go from A to B to Z to D. I can't do any of those things. So I'm just going to rage about what's familiar to me. And I'm going to sit in that anger because it's familiar to me, because I can't possibly think my way through this. I can't possibly apply critical thought to the situation. I can't be progressive because I don't understand gay people. And because I'm grossed out or threatened by it, I'm just going to be angry about it. And that's what that is. He's just too stupid to understand that it has nothing to do with him. Like nothing.
I did actually have somebody from the trans community reach out to me after one of our discussions last year and pointed out something that I thought was interesting. And I'm not sure if I brought this up.
Of course I am.
Are you part of?
Sorry.
That's okay. And this individual suggested that I'm not going to mention their name because I didn't ask for permission to talk about our exchange, but this person mentioned that because they're in the community, they're aware quite often that some of this anger stems from their lack of understanding of their own sexuality. And quite often, what I'll end up happening is if you do have some thoughts one way or the other that aren't traditional or aren't like the rest of the guys in the gym that you're working out with, and you don't understand it, you might be angry about it, and that you lash out, that it does manifest itself in anger. Now, I'm not suggesting that Sean Strickland's gay, but maybe he struggled with his sexuality at some point, and this is where he ended up, you know? I mean, and that was brought to my attention, something I didn't think about, from somebody in the trans community who has seen it from other people in the community.
The best offense is a good defense, right? Like the best defense is a good offense for guys like that that struggle with their sexuality. And that happens a lot. Yeah. Like I know a gentleman that you know that put on this big machismo front for a really long period of time and then got let go because of how he treated women. And why did he treat women and gay people this way? Women and gay people. Because he was bisexual and he was this deeply held,
he was struggling
weird
with it.
Secret where he was like, I'm just angry. I'm angry that I feel this way. I'm angry that I was brought up with a certain set of rules. I've talked to him about it. I'm angry about this and that and this. And so that's how it came out. It came out in anger. To your point, I think you're 100% right. I think your trans friend that called you and said, hey, I bet you that guy wouldn't mind going to the movies with another dude sitting in the back. That's probably where he's at.
Yeah. 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 And at the end of the day, that's kind of where we started at the beginning of this conversation. We just got to stop judging people.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think that judgment piece is not helping. It's just getting in the way of everybody just being themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. It
is. Man, you do not want to see my Pornhub search. You do not. It'll change your opinion of me.
Hey, did you see the Pope? You see what the Pope said the other day? By the way, speaking of Pornhub.
Did the Pope? Did the Pope admit he was on Pornhub?
You remember a couple of years ago where the Pope liked a picture of this topless model who just flashed her boobs all over the place on Instagram? You remember that? It was a big thing.
Nuns gone wild. Oh, come on.
Yeah. And everybody's like, who liked that picture? And the Pope's office is like, somebody in the office, but it wasn't the Pope. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Well, the Pope put out a notice and he's like, hey, guys, listen, orgasms are fine. Sex is great. What isn't great is pornography. Such bullshit. He said, quote, sexual pleasure is a gift from God, but Catholics must avoid pornography. He said that yesterday. I'm like, what? The pontiff made the remarks during a catechist devoted to the vice of lust at some fucking general audience in St. Peter's Square. He said sexual pleasure was something to be cherished, he said, but it was being undermined by pornography. It's never happened.
Why is it funny that the vice of lust was at St. Peter's Square? I don't know why. There's a joke there, though.
We must defend love, the Pope said. Winning against the battle of lust can be a lifelong undertaking. Francis appeared to be responding to conservative critics who were incensed last week after a book resurfaced featuring sexually explicit content written decades ago by the Vatican's head of doctrine. He basically went on to say, hey, listen, orgasms are great. Sexual lust is great. Pornography's bad. All of those things are 100% correct and 100% wrong at the same time, depending on where you're from. I have never, ever, ever, and this is the truth, I have never, ever, ever sought any kind of moral sexual advice from a eunuch. Have you?
Oh, when you become the Pope, do they
cut your balls off? Well, no.
Do they?
No, my point is this. He knows nothing about this subject.
Oh, okay.
The Pope knows nothing about orgasms.
I know nothing about religion, so you just about took me down a hole.
He knows nothing about sex, marriage, love. He knows nothing about relationships with another woman. He knows nothing about sexual gratification. So for him to say it's a gift from God, how the fuck would he know? And how does he know porn is bad as he's never watched it? There's great porn out there. Like really, really great, loving pornography out there. Is there really aggressive pornography with Mr. Bill in a mask? Sure there is, Pope. Sure. Stay away from that if it freaks you out. Are there torture racks?
Never search J-Rock.
Are there torture racks and hentai porn that might scare the shit out of a few nuns and a couple of fathers?
What's hentai?
That's where you tie people up into these weird like web tie things and then
okay.
Yeah. David Carradine died from it in a closet, if you remember the Kung Fu Master.
Oh. Years ago.
Yeah.
Well, he was whacking off and
doing hentai.
Asphyxiate.
Yeah. Okay. He did it all. But like,
you got to know your knots, people.
I don't understand why that's even news, other than the fact he's finally addressing sex and he's basically telling everybody to stop watching porn, which has nothing to do with sex, by the way. Like nothing. It's just people like to watch porn. You might have sex after. You might get turned on. You might need it as a marital aid. A lot of women do. A lot of men do. A lot of men and women will sit and watch pornography together, get them in the mood, get them feeling good before they get into each other's gear. So he knows nothing about what he's talking about. Like absolutely nothing. I cannot believe he's in charge of the Catholics. It's bullshit.
Yeah,
he says. Well, seriously, are you going to go to the Pope for advice on how to have sex?
No, but I think as a leader of that organization and that being a big part of the sort of the guilt and the messaging behind religion, I don't think it's completely unwarranted for him to step in and make a comment about it.
Sorry. Do you go to the doctor and tell the doctor how do you do your appendectomy? No, because you've never taken any medical training and you have none.
I'm not that upset about the Pope.
Never had sex.
Making a comment.
He's never had sex. Yeah. He's never been married. And if he's had an orgasm, he's not supposed to, because that's not allowed in the church either.
You're not allowed to whack off if you're a Pope.
No, you're not allowed to jerk off. Absolutely not. It's against the rules. Self pleasure.
That can't. Of the flesh that cannot be a thing.
No, I'm telling you, it's true. They look at it like it's a sin. Dude, I remember when I was a kid, this is a great story. So I'm in the sixth grade My dad's like, we're going to church. I'm like,
so all popes are liars.
Totally. All liars. That guy doesn't. He totally jerks off, even though he's not supposed to. They all do. The nuns jerk off. The priests jerk off. The fucking superintendents jerk off. The Swiss guard jerks off. Everybody jerks off, dude. It's fucking normal. It's just what everybody should be doing. It's good for you. It's healthy. So I'm in the sixth grade. My dad goes, okay, boys, says me and my.
How old are you in the sixth grade?
Sixth grade, 12. He's like, we're
12.
Going
to the- so you're fully in.
I hadn't jerked off yet. It was like, yeah, 12. I was like, I think 13 or 14 the first time, where I'm like, this is incredible. How can this be bad?
I must have started when I was about 11 or 12.
All right.
As an early bloomer.
Thank you. Congratulations.
I'm just thinking about the spot I was and how old.
So my dad drags me out to this thing at the church, and it's this video presentation that's 2 hours long from this guy who runs an organization called Focus on the Family. His name's James Dobson. This is a true story. So my dad,
why do I know that name?
Walk into the church. There's a big poster up. It's like, masturbation is a sin. That was the poster. Presentation by Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. And I'm like, what are we talking about today? What's happening today? My dad's like, just shut up and go in there. So I go into the
church,
sit down in a pew. They're like, hey, everybody, welcome. You know, as we all know, lust is a sin. And I remember it clear as day. Lust is a sin. And we need to prevent our young men from letting the devil inside their bodies through the physical activity of masturbation. So without.
And at this point, you don't even know what it is.
No idea. I'm 12. Dude, I'm still watching Flintstones at lunch. Like, from lunch break, come home for lunch, watch Flintstones, go back to school, come home.
I'm sure I was
listening to a Quiet Riot record.
I was full on in my whack off stage.
I'm sure you were. 12. I'm sure you were. You're locked and crossed. I get it. So for 2 hours, I sit through this presentation where this guy's talking about how you can die if you jerk off, how you can get possessed by the devil and his legion of demons, which will enter your body through your penis if you masturbate. And the impure thoughts and how far that takes you away from your Lord. For 2 hours at the age of six, I had my hands over my fucking eyes like this, and I was plugging my ears with my thumbs because I was so embarrassed for everybody else in the stands in the crowd. And it's all these guys with their dads, like all people my age, some younger, some older. This presentation was for 2 hours, and all it did for 2 hours was convince every single person in that audience that masturbation is the fastest way to get possessed by demons. 100%.
What religion were you?
Same, Christian. Yeah, same.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding you. The evangelical faith, Catholic faith, all of those Abrahamic faiths, they all say the same thing, which is like,
man, I dodged a bullet being raised by hippies.
Totally. They're like, go ahead, do it in the kitchen if you like. We don't care. We're hippies.
I wasn't encouraged to do it in public. And there wasn't a lot of discussion about it, but it wasn't like the devil was going to enter my body through my dick.
That's what I was dealing with in my teen years.
That really explains a lot about you.
Anyway.
You wonder why all these kids and people have all these weird kinks, right?
Yeah, when they get old.
That is gonna screw a kid up.
Oh, dude, it screwed me up forever. I remember being 14, 15, 16, being so embarrassed that I'd let the Lord down after whacking off. I seriously let the Lord down 2-3 times a day till I was like 30. I'd go home and let the Lord down at lunch. I'd come home from a pep rally after making out with my high school girlfriend. I'd let the Lord down in my dorm room. It was incredible how many times I let the Lord down after that speech. I'm like, I guess this is a sin. I'm going straight to hell, but I cannot stop.
We had a discussion a couple years ago on the show. And I don't know why we're bringing up Jimmy so much on the podcast, but my little buddy, James P. White, is a frequent masturbator and has... And over the years has referenced the fact that he does it quite a bit. He's also a religious man, right? And we really didn't get down to brass tacks.
I'd like to know from Jimmy if he feels guilt after he gives it a pull.
because of his religious upbringing.
I think there's a lot of guilt there, and I'll prove it. I'll prove it by the story. So we were talking about like how many times you do it in a healthy amount, and quite often we will finish a discussion like this with Jimmy, right? Because he's quite often the funny and quite often the unpredictable answer to whatever question we're discussing. And again, I don't remember exactly how we got into it, but it was about what is a healthy, normal male masturbation schedule if you're at this age, if you're married, blah, blah, blah. And I admitted that, you know what? If I'm lucky, I might get two in a day, but in generally once a day kind of guy. Grant said, yeah, I'm once a guy. He's a little shyer than Jimmy and I. We overshare. But before we got into our discussion, Jimmy weighed in right out of the gates and said, yeah, no, I'm about 4 or 5. And
a day?
A day. And he dropped it, not like he thought it would shock us.
Like it was totally normal. Yeah.
Yes.
I love that.
And and so he has admitted that he has slowed that down because we brought it to his attention that that might be an obscene number. Like, I'm like, dude, what are you?
That's a lot.
Five.
It's a lot of masturbation. Like, that's a lot of time. I don't have that much
time. It's going to be raw. Like, talk about sores on your hands.
Talk about syphilis hands. I, dude, I'm just looking this up now. PlannedParenthood.org. How much masturbation is too much? Listen to this. Tell this to Jimmy. I'll send this to you when I'm done.
I think we read exactly this to him.
Some people masturbate often, it says, every day or even more than once a day. Some people masturbate closer to once a week or once every few weeks or every now and again. Some people never masturbate, and that's fine too. All of these are perfectly normal. Masturbation only becomes too much if it gets in the way of your job, your responsibilities, or your social life. Now, if
masturbation... Well, that's what he said. I get to work on time.
Is that what he says?
I'm always here on time. Because we started to look up the fact that it was an unhealthy amount and that he might have a problem and that we were going to get him some help.
No, dude. No. He's gifted. He's one of those guys that has to masturbate like 4 or 5 times a day.
We have actually.
I don't even have an interest to do that 4 or 5 times a day. Like if someone said to me, would you want to if you had the time? I'd say no. And if they said, would you have enough interest to do that 4 or 5 times a day? I'd say, absolutely not. I have other things to do. I'm not even a daily guy anymore. And if I like being a tri-weekly guy, sure. Absolutely. Get it. Nature's sleeping pill. Right before you go to bed. Boom, boom, done. Go to bed. Melatonin pot. I'm out. I get it. But to make an appointment or to stop what you're doing, because at some point, if you're masturbating 5 times a day like Jimmy, you have to stop what you're doing. Right. How do you do that? How do you go? I'm just in the middle of typing up some show prep. I'm going to go bust a nut.
That's what I said to him. I said, so do you how long does it take? Because listen,
that's a time commitment too. Like if it takes more than 3 minutes, you do it 5 times a day. That's 15 minutes of your day that you lost.
3 minutes. If you're getting her done in 3 minutes, you're better at it than I am. I need to set the mood.
You put on some music. You put on music first. Little Sade, smooth operator.
Prepare the lighting.
Maybe bring up some hentai porn.
I've never done that, but I'm searching that next. As soon as we're done.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's one of those porn categories where you're like, who searches this shit out? You're just tying people up. That's all you're doing.
There was one day I almost decided to quit masturbating because I am friends with a little person. And quite often what'll happen is your algorithm, like it'll figure out what you like.
One day you almost decided to quit masturbating.
I'll tell you, this is what happened.
All right, and then we'll let you go. We'll wrap it up here.
I pull up Pornhub and and you're searching through the videos just to sort of see what the recommendations were.
The table, right?
Yeah. And so I was scrolling through, and we talk about, I'm not going to get into it, but we talk about glory holes all the time on our show. And we actually have a webpage. Like I bought a URL, EdmontonGloryHoleTours.com. You can go look at it. And anyway, it's just been this ongoing joke on the show. And so I get to this glory hole video and I'm like, that's weird. That's a little too close to home. It's going to be a little more difficult to get myself back up and going here. I'm not into glory hole porn. Why is that there? And then the next video was a little person. And I got to tell you, I never searched that. I have no desire to look at that, but it was two back-to-back videos that basically ended my momentum that I had, whatever momentum I had to continue that process stopped. And I'm like, that's it. I'm out. It took me 2 or 3 days to recover. I do not need to, because all little people look the same. Yeah. So it was a video. It was a picture of a still shot of my friend, who, by the way, got asked to be in a porn.
Oh, he's
and we spent weeks trying to tell him to do it, and he didn't.
He didn't. Did he get paid? Did he get offered money for it?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was. He was at the sex show in town, the Taboo Naughty and Nice sex show.
Yeah.
And some woman who produces porn pulled him aside and wanted him to do a porn. And we didn't get into the concept or anything like that because he kind of said no right out of the gates. But you know those VR glasses, the things you put around your head or whatever. Yeah. I guess there's a lot of porn.
Oh,
in that
dude,
world.
And it is disconcerting. I've watched porn on an Oculus set before
for
2 minutes because my buddy's like, "Hey, you got to check this out." And it literally felt like I was going to get hit with a big stream. Like I was like, I can't look at that. It's disgusting. Like it was right in your face. It was like, wow. Okay. There it is. Everything's right there. And it's like 360 pan vision. And I'm like, am I going to get sprayed? And he's like, no, take the headset off. I'm like, thank you. It's way too.
I need privacy when I'm
porn,
doing
VR
the
porn
thing.
Is way too realistic. You can see way
is
too
it?
Much. Yeah, it's awful.
See, and she had this idea that it would be an interesting porn for that thing, VR, whatever it is, virtual reality. So she was trying to talk him into doing it. She gave him her card and everything like that, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah,
we begged him. We begged him to get into it.
Yeah, because you wanted to be on set, right? You wanted to be his manager.
No, I don't think I could. And then I'm not sure why he turned it down, like, because he is a bit of a freak, like Jimmy will admit that.
Yeah, he's got some kinks, right? Like he likes
our point
girls,
was
he likes rough stuff, he likes like dumb, he likes being dominated.
He when that show's in town, he hangs out there the whole weekend. He loves it.
Yeah, those are his people.
Which is great. Good for him, right? So we were surprised he didn't jump in
with
both feet.
I'd pay big money to see him in a bondage mask, actually.
Well, I told him, I said, listen, if you do it, you just need to be prepared that we're going to probably do a special release, give away some DVDs on the show. It's not like we'll make a big deal about it. We'll have a showing at a theater.
We'll only have a 3-month promo. Where you could qualify to film your own porn with you, Jimmy. But other than that, it's going to be light. You're going to love it. Thanks, buddy. Great to see you.
Good stuff today.
Yeah, it was all fun. Right, appreciate your time. Good to see you. Lachlan Cross, 957 Cruise FM in Edmonton is where you can find him, at Lachlan Cross on Twitter. Thanks, pal. I'll talk to you tomorrow. All right. There you go. Lachlan Cross, everybody. Thanks to you for watching the show. Thanks for being with us today. And thanks to our friends and partners at CanTorque for making this possible. CanTorque, makers of industrial, hard-working, rugged torque wrenches for industries around the world, doesn't matter what they are, heavy machinery, nuclear, railroad, forestry, manufacturing. They've got all the solutions for torque wrenches, your bolting solutions under one roof. They do it for industry around the world, heavy industry around the world. If it's in Dubai, it could be in UAE, it could be in Europe, it doesn't matter. This guy, it's worldwide. That's what CanTorque does, and they're the best in the world at it. Tool rentals,
calibration services, repairs, custom fabrication, and distribution opportunities. Cantor can give you this complete range of services, products, making them your one-stop destination for all your bolting needs. And Colin is a mensch. Go to cantorque.com today, sub to their podcast on the front page of their site. They've got a brand new website where you can check out all their wares. And if you're in heavy industry and you're in need of a bolting solution you can't find, these are your people, proudly Canadian made, Canadian owned, Canadian manufactured. They do everything in Canada. That's why I love Colin. Go to cantorque.com today. Muse on the Mic, special podcast from Emily and Riley. They're in our network, and they own a place called Muse Massage Spa, musemassagespa.com. They just launched their podcast called Muse on the Mic, taking you behind the scenes of the body rub industry, the sex work industry. These are advocates, educators, sexologists that want to take you through a healthy experience and encourage you to explore all of their wares, including their podcast. Go to musemassagespa.com. Give them a call at 416-739-6668. And simply download their podcast. All you got to do is subscribe to it anywhere you get your fine podcast, Muse on the Mic, or they've got a Muse on the Mic Patreon channel. That's where all the juice gets aired. So go there today, check them out, download and sub their podcast. Emily and Riley are wonderful people. And get their podcast today. Again, Muse on the Mic. And of course, brought to you by our friends at Gitch. Luxury branded underwear, boxer briefs, buy three, get one free. Use promo code GITCH3 when you check out. These are underwear that are engineered for any level of performance by Canadians for Canadians. The pouch is bigger. That's the difference. You can get a four pack, you can get a one pack. But if you get the four pack, you get that fourth for free when you use promo code GITCH3 at checkout, GITCH3 at checkout. And you'll get an extra 15% off your entire purchase if you give them your email address. Super simple, very easy to use. Edsfineimports.com. All the sizes that you want. Gitch, Canada's number one luxury branded underwear. Boxer briefs, pouch in the front. Again, I say this all the time. You can't miss. I guarantee you'll love these underwear. And who doesn't want a free pair when you order three or more? Gitch3 is your promo code. Edsfineimports.com. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Don't forget everything we do is at Cryer Media, cryer.co. Sub to our podcast anywhere you get your fine podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, and of course, YouTube, Cryer Media, Dean Blundell Show on YouTube as well. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow. Try to be good to each other. Keep watching Donald Trump. Send me all the clips that you can. That guy is losing his syphilis mind. I love it. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.